Lord this morning. And I got a text from my mother. Actually, my mom has been texting me and calling me every single day. Isn't that a great mom? She's awesome. And she is acutely aware of my condition and how things are going. And she's, I'm a mom. I need to know. I need to hear your voice every single day. And so I've been talking to mom. And she told me the day, because the day of my accident, I never really spoke to her. We were texting back and forth. And she was saying, I hate texting now because I wanted to hear your voice. I didn't want to just see letters going across my screen that you were writing. I am healing up tremendously quickly. How's that for butchering the English language? But I am just moving along in my healing process. My wounds on my shoulder were the worst, and they are just they're healing at a very rapid rate. Every single day, I'm moving along in the meat department from what my skin looks like, you know. We looked like raw beef at one point, and now we're looking a little bit more like a well-done hamburger because it's scabbing over or whatever. But I'm amazed at my mobility. This arm, I could last week, a few of you made a comment, I'm walking around like this thing was like tied to me, because it kind of was. I couldn't move it, but I can get to right about here now. Isn't that great? That's pretty good for me right there. So things are moving along. My ankle is decided to take about 4 days before it actually started to hurt. And I've got some kind of weird thing going on. My skin is a little discolored right above my ankle bone, where it's the skin about the size of a quarter is numb and not doing very well. And so I have an appointment to get all this stuff looked at, and I'm going to get this examined again and to see. I probably shouldn't be walking on it, but, you know, I'm me, and so I'm going to walk on it. But that's how we are. That's a guy thing. You know, we get hurt, and we go out and mow the grass just to make ourselves feel better. But I just really am thankful for your prayers. I think that God is just using this whole event to knit us together as a church. Your emails, your phone calls, Facebook posts, everything that's been going on, you have just stepped right into my living room with me, and I really, truly appreciate everything that you've just been pouring out. It's just been so, so encouraging, and so I thank you for that, and I'm doing quite well. So I could just continue to use your prayers for healing, and Alexa and I are, I know that the thing that people talk about, and they say this, is that, you know, is Alexa going to give me permission to get another motorcycle? The reality is that we are praying about it. I'm trying to figure out exactly what the Lord is going to teach me through all of this and what's going to happen. A few things that just go through my mind is a number of people during our, we had a small bike blessing here at the beginning of the season, and I slapped a sticker on there, and one of the ladies right there at the rec, she saw my bike blessing sticker, and she was like, wow, you were blessed. And I'm like laying there and like a pretzel going, I'm not feeling very blessed right now, but you know, you're alive, and you're going to fix this thing, and you're going to get back on it. And I'm thinking, man, you know, you can let my wife know that's what's going to happen. But she and I are just really approaching this thing with all clarity and all sincerity, and just asking the Lord to lead us on it. And my riding future, I'm not going to ride for the rest of this season. I just think we need to kind of get our heads together on it. And so we're postponing any major decisions until the spring, that kind of thing. And so, it is kind of fun to play around with it and to talk about it. We were in Erie last week, this past week, doing some stuff for the sound system that we're going to need outside. And I had Bob stop at every motorcycle place between here and my house. And it took us like 2.5 hours to get home from Erie because I just want to look at one. You never know, you know. But we just ask that for the whole process, that you would just be with us in prayer on that what the Lord was doing. I can tell you that many times I've sat in my office opposite somebody who's gone through something like this, who comes to me and says, you know, what is the Lord trying to show me, or what should I get from this? And I've had that experience. Now I've had trusted pastors and leaders call me. A number of the leaders from Elam Fellowship have been on the phone with me. They've emailed me. I talked to the president of Elam Fellowship, Mike Cavanaugh, for about 20 minutes on Monday, and he was just pouring out wisdom and just wanting me to know that he's there for me. And a lot of them knew my dad really, really well, and they're just prayerfully calling me and offering me advice, and none of them have said, you know, I wonder what your dad would say. They've just been pouring out love to me and asking me to just be really prayerful about any decisions that I make. And so I would ask you to help me just kind of reinforce that and just allow the Lord to move in that. Amen. Praise God. So if you could open up your scriptures this morning, we are going to be looking together into the book of Ephesians. Now, I brought with me, I don't know if you saw it here on the, this is my helmet over here. And Scott shared it last week that when I was in my motorcycle safety course, the guy that was teaching the class, he said, this is the single most important piece of equipment that you'll ever purchase for your motorcycle. And when Alexa and I were up at the sports store last summer looking at helmets, you know, I really wanted a cool helmet. And when you have a cruiser, this isn't really a cool helmet. And this isn't really, you know, you go in the store and you're looking for the half shell and you're looking for the thing that's like, you know, you can lean back on the thing and you almost as much as little of a helmet as you can possibly have. You know, eventually you graduate to a T-shirt tied onto your head and somehow you're safer that way. But the guy in our class, he held up a full face helmet and he said, this is the single most important piece of equipment that you'll buy. And my mom was emailing me over the week, and she said, a pastor friend of yours has already used your story in a sermon illustration in his midweek service. I said, really, what was it? And she said, it was the helmet of salvation. How about that? And the thing that I was working on for this week, of course, is tied into some things. I can't tell you how many sermon illustrations I've gotten in the last 7 days. You just think about all this stuff that's going on. But I would like to share with you briefly about some things that have to do with this extremely important piece of equipment. Because in the listing in Ephesians of the different pieces of the armor, there are ones that have very specific purposes to them. And I want to be able to just walk with you for a few moments as we look at this together and to say, God, through these types of situations, what can we learn? And if you have your scriptures with you, we're going to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. This may be an extremely familiar section of scripture to you, but I want to touch on it, and my whole thing isn't going to necessarily be the helmet of salvation itself, but I want you to see where it is in the listing of it. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. I wonder if you could say that much with me this morning. Put on the whole armor of God. That part of it lets us know that there are things that each segment of this is going to serve. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And the devil is scheming. The Bible says that he is a lion that is going around looking for whom he may devour. This is not somebody, this is a predator. This is someone who is saying, I'm taking it. The ship is sinking. And as far as he's concerned, the ship has already sunk. And he is trying to take as many people down with him as he possibly can. Some people say, well, they're equal opposite powers. And God is doing the good. And Satan is doing the evil. And they're fighting against each other. The battle is won. It's over. Satan is defeated. The ship is going down, and he's trying to take as many people with him as possible. That paints a completely different picture for us than this whole idea of the good angel on one shoulder and the bad angel on the other shoulder kind of going, no, completely defeated. Completely defeated. And in that mode, he is still able to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because he's motivated to take as many people with him as he can. That's a completely different mindset. So we see this in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Here we go. Therefore, take up the whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that at the end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. The helmet of salvation. This is very unique here. This type of helmet is one where the face comes up. I have a little clip here that can make it lock down. But for the most part, what happens is once it's clicked in here, this doesn't come up anymore, and it protects the entire head is completely covered. The face shield is shatterproof. The inside has impact-resistant double foam inside of it. The inside foam pieces can be replaced with even a thicker foam if I wanted to. It has the ability to withstand a drop of over 10 feet and not be changed at all. The little sticker that's on the back here, not this big white one, there's a little emblem right here that's DOT certified. This means that it has been inspected and it is approved for motorcycle wear. This particular helmet is not cheap. This was there were ones that were half the price of this one. It was quite expensive, and Alexa said, that's okay. In this particular purchase, we're not going to hold anything back, and we purchased this helmet. In my accident, the coyote ran out. It hit the front tire. I clipped it with my back tire, causing my bike to flip me over the handlebars. The eyewitness said that as I came down, I landed head first. And when my head hit the asphalt, you can see the mark that it made. These stripes that are here are very deep. These aren't scratches. This went all the way. It took off the paint and actually went down to the first layer of styrofoam that's here. It's completely scratched away. I landed so that my head was hitting like this, and my shoulder then impacted next, and that's why I have as much damage as I do on my shoulder. The thing that amazed me is after I took my helmet and I was looking at it, I could not believe that I did not even have 1 ounce of pain in my neck. My neck is not hurt at all. And this helmet is not designed to do that. This is strictly a helmet to protect my head. But I landed in a way where it pinched my head this way. The asphalt was on this side of my body. And as you can see from this, I didn't just hit my head. I slid like that for a few feet before my body cartwheeled over and I hit the left side of my body on the pavement. This particular piece, and what I had on was a long sleeve t-shirt. I didn't have I didn't have a armored jacket on. I had blue jeans and that helmet. When the lady arrived on the scene, she said, "That helmet saved your life." And I believe her. I completely believe her. A few times I've ridden around town from my house to here, which is just under a mile from my house to here. I've ridden from my house to here without my helmet before. I've never left town without my helmet. I've gone to Walmart a few times without my helmet. I've ridden a few places when I would put my girls on the back. I would give them my helmet, but we went to like Drake Well and stuff like that. Didn't go far. Always had my helmet with me on. The helmet is something that is protecting the very livelihood of the organism that it's on. I want you to think about that for a second. When the helmet is mentioned in this list, there is the entire body depends upon the survival of the brain. It cannot function. We were watching golf the other day, and Bob is a man of amazing trivia. If you know Steve McDonald, if you knew him when he was alive, Bob is like just a walking dictionary thesaurus. He knows all these facts and things that are going on. And a guy walks onto the screen, and he goes, "That guy's had two heart replacements." It's like, "You're kidding me." No, and he's shooting an 8-under right now in the Canadian Open. You can have a heart transplant. You can have kidneys taken out. You can have your gallbladder worked on. Many of you have probably had some form of gallbladder surgery. Our sciences have not gotten to the place to where we can take a human brain and swap it out. Lungs. They can do work on lungs, hearts, stomachs, all kinds of things. Your brain, we can't help you. And so when I get to that list and I see this, the helmet, and then the word that is used with it, the helmet of salvation. Salvation, which is the first step in our walk with renewing ourselves with Jesus Christ. It is the very important thing that we look at, that we see that there is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It is through our commitment. And if you this morning have prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you have declared Him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over your life, then you have something. You have a unique relationship. You have a relationship with someone who is known as your Savior. And then when Paul is writing, he says, "I want you to put on the helmet of salvation." That helmet saved my brain. Saved my brain. Somehow, through the grace of God, it also saved my neck. I don't know how it did that. It's not designed to do that. When I went to look at my bike last week, actually this past Thursday, we went back down and got some things off of it that I wanted. And I saw the mechanic there, and he said, "We were looking at your bike when we first brought it in." And he said, "I'm just amazed. We don't get to see the rider of a bike that looks like this. That rider is usually dead." And the guy in the ER, when I was talking to the doctor and I explained my accident to him, the guy in the ER was like, "We don't get to work on guys like you. We don't get to see you." Ladies and gentlemen, here I am walking around with a little bit of a limp and a scratch on my back. Can I get an amen? And it is, and do you see that I was actually doing, as far as a rider goes, I was doing the minimum requirement. I had a helmet on and a t-shirt. The only thing I could have been doing worse is wearing shorts, which I've seen people walk riding since I've had my accident. There's how many people have passed us in tank tops and shorts? I'm like, man, they've never fallen. They've never fallen off of their bike before. Be wearing a tank top and shorts and flip-flops. One of them had flip-flops on. I'm like, good night. I can't even shift. The minimum amount and here I am. And I began to think about that and wrestle with that in my mind. Of what we do sometimes to our Christian brothers and sisters who struggle with certain things. Do they have Jesus Christ in their life? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that will save their life. It's the minimum requirement. It's all that's required. But it is over the most vital part of who they are. I want to rattle off some scriptures to you. I did kind of a non-exhaustive, that turned out to be pretty exhaustive, examination of scriptures that talk about our mind. Now, this isn't necessarily focusing specifically on the helmet of salvation, but I want you to see how important it is for the mind to be the part that you give to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12 reads this way: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." How is that done? By the renewing of your mind. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." We're talking about the minimum requirement. We're saying, "God, I want to give you my mind. I want you to be the one who is in control over my mind." And when I began to let this stir in my spirit, I said, "Dear God, if I had just had an armored jacket on, you can buy them for $50, I wouldn't even have a scratch on my body. I wouldn't have these, because the jacket comes all the way down." As a matter of fact, if you know our area very well, just outside of Warren, there's a little town called Starbrick where Blair Factory used to be. I pulled over in that vacant parking lot. I had rain gear on because we thought that it was going to be rain. It didn't rain at all. That's what happens when you ride. You put on all this rain gear and it doesn't rain. All that happens is you sweat to death. So I'm taking off this rubber rain gear that doesn't breathe. I had a jacket, I had pants, I had special extra reinforced gloves that keep the rain off. They have a little windshield wiper on the thumb. You can go reet, 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 and clean off your face shield. I pulled over in Starbrick and I took all that stuff off, except for my helmet. And I have to tell you, because of the rider that I am, it never even occurred to me to take off my helmet. It wasn't even a thought that I had. And in our walk with Jesus Christ, sometimes what happens is we catch ourselves thinking about and trying to come up with decisions about things that we shouldn't even be entering. I don't know. Should I have this affair with this woman? No. Right? Why is this even a conflict for you? Well, I feel that God has spoken to me and I'm supposed to leave my family and go and join with this other person. That's happened all across Christendom. And people say, "God spoke to me. I'm supposed to leave my wife and go and live with this person." That's somebody who is not wearing the helmet of salvation. That's somebody who is going to get thrown over their spiritual handlebars, their head's going to hit the ground, and they're going to die, spiritually speaking. That's an obvious thing that should not even be contemplated. So when I'm there taking all of my gear off, I even had my helmet on. I didn't even take my helmet off to do all that. I'm pulling off my rain suit and switching out my gloves. As a matter of fact, I had some really nice leather gloves that I didn't even bother. I was barehanded, t-shirt, jeans. But I had my helmet on. Ladies and gentlemen, believers in Jesus Christ, how often have we exposed ourselves in such a way that we have even had to think about things that shouldn't even be on the radar? This is not of God. This is not something that I should be doing. These are not thoughts that should even be entering my mind. I shouldn't be in conflict about this at all because my mind has been renewed. And why would I even consider going into battle without my helmet on? That'll preach all day long. I can say that all kinds of different ways to you this morning, but I want you to see it very clearly. That there's even an illustration of it. If you've ever seen the horrific movie Saving Private Ryan, that thing, you have to have a stomach to watch it. But there's one scene where the guy's on the beach and the bullet bounces off of his helmet, and he literally takes his helmet off and he's looking at the bullet hole, and his partner says, "Man, you were lucky." Instantly, he's shot in the head and killed. Why would somebody who realized that, do you know that if I ride again, I will have a full face helmet on, and it will be a reminder to me for the rest of my life how valuable that thing is. A rider, on the day that I had my accident, there were 4 motorcycle accidents in the paper. One guy was saved by a man bun. That's what they called it, a man bun. I didn't even know what a man bun was. It's a guy with really long hair that had his hair in a bun. Now, so it happened here. I don't know if he was a resident. I don't know if some of you know who he is. I'm not mocking him in any way. But I mean, my goodness, if he didn't have his hair up in a bun that day, he would be eating his vegetables through a straw right now. And I don't have enough hair to make a man bun, so it's not an option for me. But that was saying how important that was. Also on the same day, there was a guy wearing a half shell. And I think his accident happened, his accident was the one that happened on Route 97 between Union City and Erie. And while I was in the trauma center in Hammett, once they checked me all out, they poked me a couple of times, they had me breathe. The trauma center is very, very busy. You can be praying for those people. I'm laying there, and they still haven't had any of the results come back from the MRI. I had an MRI. I had x-rays that had gone out. They had taken blood samples, all this kind of stuff. And they're like, okay, he's breathing. We need to go next door. This guy is really messed up. And everybody left. And I'm laying there. And I was laying there. And I was laying there. And finally, 30 minutes or so had passed. And somebody walked in and they said, "Oh my goodness, Mr. Taylor." They had forgotten about me. Like, you guys, I could be really hurt. Like, we didn't know. I didn't know. I'm like laying. I still had the neck brace on and everything. They're like, "Mr. Taylor, we're so sorry." Like, okay. I hope that means that you saw something that I didn't and you thought I was okay. You know, sometimes they hand the paperwork to them. They're like, okay, good, he's fine. Let's go to this thing. But that guy was wearing a half shell. And the whole side of his face was really messed up. And then he had road rash like I did, but much deeper and much more serious. And I'm thinking about that, and this has nothing to do. If you're Facebook friends with me, Alexa and I borrowed some half shells and went for a ride just 2 Fridays ago. We went for two-hour ride from Tidiute, Tynesta, back to Titusville. It was beautiful. Actually came home on the road that I had my accident on. And we're wearing half shells, so I mean, I'm not anti-half shell. Well, I kind of am now, but anyway. Apparently I wasn't at the time. But anyhow, I thought of that, and I said, you know, isn't that an interesting spiritual connection? That there's a specific design that these things have. And spiritually speaking today, I wonder, how aware of your surroundings are you that something like Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says, put on the whole armor. And all I needed was a $50 jacket, and I would be walking up here with a limp, and that's it. How many times spiritually have we allowed things to come into our lives and we go, oh, I can't believe I've become susceptible to this thing again? And we say, well, where is your mind? Have you heard this? In Isaiah chapter 26, it says, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I can't tell you. I stopped at 100. I have 100 verses here. I'm not going to read all of them to you this morning. But I have 100 verses here this morning that talk about your mind, that talk about your state of mind, that talk about what's on your mind, that talk about spiritually how you're thinking, that talk to you spiritually how you're approaching things of this world. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." James chapter 1 says, "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." Those who think that they can serve two masters is where that scripture comes from. I would ask you this morning, as you evaluate your walk with Christ, the two areas that really leap off the page to me is, do you know someone in your life that is doing at least the bare minimum so that they can stay alive in Him? Do you know that some people really struggle with that? Some people, they don't have a super powerful relationship with the Lord. They don't have a Spirit-led life. They don't have communion with God every single day. But they have a saving Christ that they've given their lives to. They may need someone just like you in their life to help them with those other pieces, to help them with that struggle that's there. I would ask you this morning, in that one scope, to remember that the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all that's required to be in His presence. I've noted this many times to you in messages from this pulpit, but I continually go back to the thief on the cross. He didn't attend one Bible study. He didn't save anybody else. He just said, "Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" He didn't even get the ABCs of salvation covered. A, accept. B, believe. C, confess. He just said, "Jesus, remember me." This morning, do you have someone in your life who has said, "Jesus, remember me"? And then the second thing I want to send you home with. Do you know that the instructions are so clear to put on the whole armor of God? The whole armor. Are you struggling with emotions? Are there things in your heart that are unsettled? Do you find yourself not able to pull from Scripture the things that the Word was intended to do? The Word is intended to be a source of encouragement for us. Each one of us must know the Word of God. Each one of us must have within us a source of encouragement. The Word is meant to get us through any situation and any circumstance. Please don't find yourself ignorant of the Word of God. In the armor, it's referred to as the sword of the Spirit. The belt of truth is one where we are able to say, "God, I desire truth. I desire to know more about you. God, in this situation, I want to know your truth." I sat down at the picnic table in our backyard with my wife Tuesday after my accident. And I said something that was probably just initially started out as a knee-jerk reaction. I say things like this sometimes to just remind myself out loud. But I said to her, I at no point have sat there and said, "God, why have you done this to me?" That's never even entered my mind. God, because the things that are weird about it is that it wasn't like it was some teenager texting on her phone that ran into me. Human error was not involved. A seasoned rider was in the opposing lane that saw me coming, and her first words out of her mouth to the state police were, "He was doing everything right. He was not at fault in any way." She doesn't know me. It wasn't a deer. Imagine if it was a deer. Oh, man, yeah, deer are a problem. Deer are a problem. Deer are huge. I'm kind of glad now I didn't hit a deer. I think people even would have kind of gone, "Boy, that's interesting. You hit what?" "I hit a cow." "Oh, a cow. The cow, there's a pasture right there where I had my accident." Maybe a cow could have gotten it. That would have been weird and bizarre. A fox was initially what people were saying that it was. I knew that it wasn't from the moment of impact. I saw it. They were saying it was a fox. They're fairly common around here. As soon as I tell somebody that I hit a coyote, they go, what? A coyote? A coyote, really. Especially my relatives that aren't from around here. I have a lot of relatives that live in like urban areas. And they're like, a coyote? Where do you live? That you're hitting coyotes. We thought you lived in America. A coyote woke up, snuck through the woods, crouched underneath a guardrail, and jumped out at the moment that I drove by. Somebody can take that and they can say, man, only God could organize something like that. I say, oh, no. That's not true. We live in a sinful, broken, fallen world. And I am convinced that the thing that God did was save me from the enemy trying to take me out. Isn't that good? And on top of that, not only did God save my life, I'm not in a wheelchair. I can play with my kids. I can hug my wife. All because I was doing the bare minimum. The bare minimum. That's it. Somebody in your life needs to know that the bare minimum is a good starting point. It's okay. Do you love Jesus? Yes, I do. I don't understand what I'm going through. That's okay. You don't have to understand what you're going through right now. That's not a requirement. Do you have the helmet of salvation? Let's stand together this morning. I'm always really good about talking about this until I realize what could have been taken from me. You know, that as soon as I say I get to see my kids graduate from high school, walk them down the aisle, blubber and cry on that day, hold my grandbabies, I turn into a pile of mush. But the reality is, if we take out the physical thing that happened, and we look more specifically spiritually at what happens to Christians every single day, I didn't do a Pew research on this. I don't have anything to back it up other than life experience itself. Most of the time, the people that I work with, talk with, pray with, the struggles they're going along in their life are simply because the bare minimum hasn't even been covered. They don't have their helmet on. This morning I would ask you to do something with me that's probably a little bit, it's not going to be as personal as where we could go this morning, but at the same time, it's going to be extremely personal for you. There is someone in your life that needs to be introduced to the bare minimum. Can you at least? I was walking into Walmart yesterday and a guy was standing out in front of his bike. I could hear him talking about the journey he was on. Didn't have a helmet. He had a tank top on. He was talking about his ride. He'd come from Ohio somewhere. I caught as he was walking by. I wanted to walk up to him like a motorcycle gospel guy. I go, man, put a helmet on. Just put one on. Well, it's freedom. It's blah, blah, blah. Put a helmet on. In your walk with Jesus Christ, can you get that passionate about your relationship with Him? Where you would see somebody making a decision and talking about something in their life, and you would go, put a helmet on. Just put a helmet on. somebody that popped into your mind as soon as I said that. I know it. I mean, you know enough people. Somebody just needs in your life this morning. And you could be that voice to them. I'm not asking you to memorize the scripture. I'm not asking you to instantly get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking you to do anything else. But to understand that Jesus Christ died for you. And He's your Savior. Can we do the bare minimum today? And I want to challenge you, wherever you are in your walk, to be able to say, God, today, I want to be the voice for someone to introduce them to what it means to have you as their Savior. That's a big step for some of you. I'm going to pray with you right now. And like I said, I'm not here saying, okay, here's the salvation message. What I'm saying is you are the carrier, and you are the one who can relay this very important information to the people around you. I think sometimes when people think about giving their life to Christ, you know, everything has to change. Well, guess what? Everything does change. But what we're saying is can you at least recognize that Jesus Christ died for you and took your place on that cross? Let's bow before Him this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for my friends, first and foremost. This room is filled with my friends. The thing that I've experienced and what I've gone through in the last 10 days, it's incredible to know that the family of God can come together the way that they have. And God, I know there's many things in the Spirit that we can learn through various encounters. But the one thing that is a takeaway that was for me that I wanted to share with my friends this morning is that it's extremely important to have that conversation where we surrender to You. God, I just pray right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That we would be able to be that voice for someone. As you travel through this life, could you at least take certain steps of safety in the Spirit? If you have somebody that came to mind, just begin under your breath if you want to. Just begin to thank the Lord for their life. Just begin to thank them. Thank Him that you have a relationship with them. Just begin to lift them up. Thank You, God, for that person in my life. Thank You that I'm in contact with them. And now, Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for opportunity. I pray for divine appointment. That, God, the timing would be according to Your will and Your purposes. That, God, we could say, it is so important for You to have this very, very valuable piece of information. I love You that much. For You to be encouraged in the Spirit to go boldly where You have feared and trembled before. I pray that boldness right now in Jesus' name comes over you. We thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Awesome. And as you take those steps, I guarantee you, God is going to use you in somebody's life. Father, we seal this in Your name, Your power, Your authority, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget, men, we need some help taking these chairs down. And not only taking them down, but they actually need to be removed from this